The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You pay tithes of mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier things of the law, judgment and mercy and fidelity. But these you should have done without neglecting the others. Blind guides who strain out the gnat and swallow the camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You cleanse the outside of cup and dish, but inside they are full of plunder and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, cleanse first the inside of the cup, so that the outside may also be clean." The Gospel of the Lord. I thought we'd talk about today is our first reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. You might find this interesting. It's one of the oldest writings in the entire New Testament. 2 Thessalonians is older than any of the Gospels. None of the Gospels have been written yet when Paul wrote this. We're talking like 20 years after Jesus rose from the dead. So the people who first heard 2 Thessalonians, they had very vivid memories of Christ himself and all the events that happened. And Paul wrote the second letter to the Thessalonians to clear up some misunderstandings that were left behind from his first letter to the Thessalonians. Two misunderstandings in particular. Number one, what happens to us after we die? And number two, tell me more about this mysterious second coming of Christ. Because the Thessalonians were living in a time of persecution. And you know how it is when you're in a time of persecution. You just want it to end. And you'll take hope anywhere you can get it. So they injected their own hope into the ambiguities from Paul's first letter, and they filled in the blanks with their own ideas. And a lot of them thought that Jesus was going to come back right away. In fact, some people stopped working. They stopped going to work. They didn't even buy green bananas. I thought he was coming right back. So Paul writes 2 Thessalonians to clear up these things, and he tells them two things. He says, listen, nobody knows what tomorrow is going to bring. Therefore, number one, be busy about your ordinary work. And number two, let me tell you a little bit about this second coming of Christ. See, first of all, Paul says, be busy about your ordinary work. That's where God's will is lived. And it's just as an aside, this is a really helpful meditation for you to pray about. If you could know that you were going to die tomorrow, what would you do today? Now, hopefully you'd go to confession, say an act of contrition, bury some hatchets, offer forgiveness maybe that you've been withholding. But for the most part, if you knew you were going to die tomorrow, what you should do today should look pretty much like any other day that you live, because that's how we do God's will in utterly ordinary things. I mean, personally, I'd make my house blessing. I'd make my sick calls. I keep my appointments. I do them as best I could. That's how we live out God's will in ordinary things. But he also tells them about this mysterious second coming of Christ. And to talk about it is not sensationalism. It might seem like it, but remember that Jesus himself told us this. St. John in his letters, St. Paul in his epistles told us this. So it's important to understand it. It's part of what God has given us as the part of the deposit of faith. So Paul tells the Thessalonians, before Jesus comes again, you're going to see two signs. First of all, you're going to see a mass apostasy. Secondly, you're going to see the appearance of what he calls the man of sin. First of all, apostasy. That's when people renounce their faith, the faith that they once held. Paul says, before Jesus Christ comes again, vast amounts of people who once professed faith in him will renounce that faith. Like Jesus says, when the Son of Man returns, will he find any faith on the earth? When we talk about apostasy, sometimes we speculate and wonder, is he talking about now? Is he talking about today? I don't know. You tell me. Certainly there's been a mass apostasy since the end of the French Revolution. And there's been a mass apostasy since the end of the Second World War. And there's even been an accelerating apostasy in rank and file in the last 10 to 15 years. So I don't really know. I will tell you this much, though. This is a fascinating aside. Something's happening in the world right now. Because vast numbers of people are coming into the Catholic faith. And it's not just here. It's everywhere. Here at St. Teresa, just as an FYI, the number of people that have already registered to enter the Catholic faith at the Easter Vigil this upcoming year is 10 times more than the number of people that had registered just 3 years ago. I mean, the Easter Vigil is going to be so big, I might have to tell people to stay away because there won't be a seat for them. Something's going on, right? So heaven alone knows whether this is the mass apostasy. But we'll talk about the far more fascinating subject Paul raises. Far more intriguing is this mysterious man of sin who's going to appear. Who is he? We don't really know. The Gospels tell us that there's going to be an Antichrist, and so do the epistles, and so do some of the Catholic letters. But they tell us that this Antichrist is going to be a false Messiah. Now, note that well. A lot of people have imagined that the Antichrist, when he comes, is going to be some merely political figure. People thought that Emperor Nero was an Antichrist, and they thought that Napoleon was the Antichrist. I thought that Hitler was the Antichrist, but the New Testament says he's going to be a false Messiah. And what that means is that somehow he's going to be more than just a political figure. He's going to cater to man's spiritual hunger and try to fulfill it. Archbishop Fulton Sheen talks about this. I'll tell you what he said. He said, this man will not call himself the Antichrist, or he would have no followers. He will not wear red tights or carry a pitchfork. He will not speak with a forked tongue or vomit sulfur. Rather, he will be very attractive, a great humanitarian who speaks of the brotherhood of all mankind, of prosperity and peace. So attractive that Jesus said he would deceive the entire world, even God's elect, but God will not allow it to happen. But, and note this well, he will not believe in God. All his works will be ordered towards this earth only, with nothing of sin, nothing of grace, nothing of the soul, nothing of eternity, only this earth, this life. Because the work of the evil spirit is always to lead you to anything except Christ. So what St. Paul says to the Thessalonians, he says to us as well, and it's helpful to be aware. Number one, be diligent about God's will. Be about your ordinary work. Keep your eyes on Christ. This is how we're ready for whenever that end comes. And number two, know that in all things, even the most chaotic, they're unfolding according to a divine plan. And for the ability to keep that faith and to persevere, we'll ask for the prayers of the saints today. St. Louis, King of France, pray for us.